We've read here about the children of God and the children of the devil in verse 10. Children can be very interesting, as you will know. I once read a summary of children's property law. You didn't think children had property law, but will you hear this? It's a wee summary of it. This is how a child thinks about their property. One, if I like it, it's mine. Two, if it's in my hand, it's mine. Three, if I can take it from you, it's mine. Four, if I had it a little while ago, it's mine. Five, if it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. Six, if I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. Eight, if I saw it first, it's mine. Nine, if you are playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. Number 10, if it's broken, it's yours. And I read that and I thought, isn't that just the way children operate? And I think some of you can remember children behaving like that in the home. That's the way children operate, you know. And you could say, that's not a bad summary of the doctrine of original sin. Because children do get on like that, and it brings out thoughts of greed, selfishness, arrogance, bullying. You know, you could tie in a lot of sins to that wee summary of how children think with regard to things. You see a lot of original sin there. You know, there are many children mentioned in the Bible. Cain and Abel, they're the first two children to come into the world, and even there we can see sin. Cain killing his brother Abel. Then we read about the baby Moses laid in the ark of bulrushes. We read about Samuel, the wee boy that the Lord spoke to when he was very young. We read about little children from Bethel, and they mocked the prophet Elisha. Go up, thy bald head. Go up, thy bald head. So even back then, children were cheeky. And children mocked. And children said inappropriate things about other people. So again, the thought of sin is coming out there. It's seen even in the children mentioned in God's word. Of course, you read about the little girl who told Naaman, the Syrian soldier, there's a prophet in Samaria. And he'll know what to do about the leprosy. We read about a little boy. He gave his lunch to the Lord Jesus. It was used to feed thousands of people. So we read about sin amongst children. We read about grace amongst children. We read about bad things. We read about good things. It's all there in God's book. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, had plenty of time for children. And a very big interest in children. You know the story where the disciples were rebuking the mothers for bringing their children to Christ? He's too busy, he's had a hard day, more important things to do, more important people to meet. Big people probably, that would have been in the disciples' minds. But that's not in the mind of Christ. He cares about the little ones. And the Lord wasn't pleased with the disciples for trying to put the parents off. And he wanted to encourage the children, he said, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Oh, what an interest he had in the children. We should always have an interest in the children too, in God's work. I heard it mentioned about your children's meeting, your children's work. You keep going at that. If you're involved in it, it's a great work. Keep working at it. Just to encourage you, some of you would have been at the martyrs on Monday night. And there was a wee lad, Reuben, gave his testimony. He's five. He's from our church in Tandragee. But he's such a wee inspiration. Do you know what he did a number of months ago? I'll tell you the story. His mummy goes into the primary school. Parent-teacher consultation. You know those dreaded things? He's five. Teacher says to mummy, I think Reuben's going to be the next Billy Graham. The mummy wondered what was coming next. She didn't know. Why? Well, he's always preaching. Right? And always telling them they have to be saved. Right? So the teacher, who was sympathetic, by the way, said to the mummy, you know, I had to say to Reuben, there's a wee Muslim in this class here, and there's another wee child from different faith and all, and I had to say to Reuben, you have to be careful. What does Reuben say to the teacher in front of the whole class? Well, Mr. Murray says, unless you get saved, you're going to hell. Isn't that right, everybody? He shouts at the class. So the teacher says to the mummy, that's your Reuben. And I could just picture him leading a rebellion in the class. You know, he's all following me against the teacher because I know what's right. I tell you that because he's only a child. But wouldn't it be great if he grew up to be a preacher or a missionary? You know, somebody has to teach them and love them and care for them. And the Lord cared. We must never forget that. These wee ones need to be taught. And your wee ones need to be taught. Because the Lord loves the children. We should love them as well. Children. You read so much about them in the Bible. They are so important in God's plan. So tonight, I want to talk to you about a few verses in the Bible where the phrase children of something is mentioned. The first point is this. I want to give you the contrast. And we find that in 1 John 3 and verse 10. Here's the contrast. Now look at it. The children of what? Verse 10 says, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Now there's the contrast. The children of God and the children of the devil. There couldn't be a greater, clearer contrast in all of the scriptures. We have the children of God and the children of the devil. One group follows the Lord who is good. The other group follows the devil who is evil. What a contrast. And you're either a child of God or a child of the devil. It's one or the other, and there is no in between. Now it says of the Lord in Psalm 147 and 3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. How beautiful that verse is. But by way of contrast, listen to what the Bible says about the devil in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. One is the healer, the other is the devourer. It's either God or the devil. You're a child of one or a child of the other. The healer, the loving healer, or the destroyer, the hateful destroyer. It shouldn't be hard to work out whose side you would rather be on. This is the easiest calculation you'll ever be asked to do. Whose side would you rather be on? God's side or the devil's? Would you rather be a child of God or a child of the devil? The answer is easy. Easy. God is love and the devil is hatred. God protects, the devil attacks. God cares, the devil tears. God sent his only begotten Son into the world to save you. The devil tried to stop Christ going to Calvary to pay the price to save you. Whose side would you rather be on? When I think of the things the Lord did, it makes me glad I'm on his side. Do you remember the story of Legion? The man possessed with the demons. Poor Legion was running around the catacombs and the tombs, naked.
Poor man was so out of his mind, he didn't even know what he was doing. He didn't even know what he looked like. He didn't know that the people were laughing at him, talking about him, afraid of him. He didn't know. That's what the devil did to that man. And then the Lord saves him. And he's sitting clothed and in his right mind. For the first time in years, poor Legion is happy. You see, it's either God or the devil, isn't it? The devil was destroying poor Legion. The Lord restored him and gave him something to live for. I think of Mary Magdalene. When she was still a child of the devil, poor Mary Magdalene was living a life of sin, a life of hurt, a life of misery. If the devil had got his way with Mary Magdalene, that woman would have ended up on the scrap heap. She would have ended up with everybody in the district talking about her, laughing at her, totting at her, making little of her, telling jokes about her. That's where she was heading when she was a child of the devil. But when the Lord saved Mary Magdalene, he gave her something worth living for. He changed her life completely. I look at the poor alcoholic without clean clothes and a clean house, without money in his pocket, and then you look at the one who gets saved from the drink. What a difference. What a difference. Oh, a child of the devil or a child of God, which one would you rather be? I know which one I'd rather be. A gentleman in our church asked me to go and see a man in Tandragee. I didn't know the man. I told this to our young people one night in the fellowship to warn them about booze and drink and the danger of it and the evil of it. This man was in an awful way, in the horrors of drink and alcoholic. The man from the church said to me, "Don't go to the front door, you'll never get in. Go to the back door and just walk on in." Well, I did what I was told one Friday morning at 9 o'clock. And I walked into the kitchen. I'll say no more. Shouted for him when I heard a groan. Went through the hall to the bottom of the stairs, shouted up the stairs, mentioned the man's name. "Is that you?" "Uh-huh." I said, "I'm the Reverend Samuel Murray. Your friend asked me to come to see you. Can you come down?" "No." "Can I come up?" "Come up if you like." Up to the bedroom. There he was, sitting in a pair of jeans and a polo shirt on the side of the bed with hands like that. And I told him who I was and why I was there. "Can you take me to Market Hill?" I said to him, "Are you asking me to take you to Whitesides?" "Mm-hmm." I said, "I can't do that. I came to tell you about somebody who can deliver you from the drink, and I can't drive you to Market Hill to leave you in a pub. Will you take me up the town?" "No, I can't." I said, "And I'm a Christian. Imagine me taking you up the town and dropping you at a pub. What would that look like?" I said, "I didn't come to do that. But take me up to the town and drop me somewhere else. Don't go to the pub." I said, no, I can't do that. I want to tell you how to be delivered." But you know that man, he went on and on for an hour. "Will you take me? Will you take me?" And dear friends, do you know what he said at the end? Nearly cried, "Please take me." You ever hear a wee child, when they really want something, "Please." It's actually quite nice when you hear a wee child asking for something, saying it like that, isn't it? When you hear an alcoholic pleading with a total stranger, "Please take me." I came away, and I'll tell you, my heart was in my boots. Because I tried to witness to him, but I soon realized that man is in such a bad way, he cannot listen to one thing I'm saying. All that man can think about is getting booze at 9 in the morning. He could not think beyond that. And I got nowhere with him. Would you rather be a child of the devil or a child of God? God never does that to anybody. He delivers them from that sort of slavery and that sort of sin and that sort of misery. God delivers. What a contrast. Child of God or a child of the devil. But then I want to look at the condition in the second place. And under this point I want to show you the biblical description of the condition of those not yet saved. Will you turn to Ephesians 2 with me? We've seen a contrast here. A child of God, a child of the devil. Now look at the condition in Ephesians 2 and verse 2. And it says in Ephesians 2 and 2, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now keep your Bible open at Ephesians 2. The condition described is this, a child of disobedience. That the word disobedience means obstinate opposition to the divine will. That's what it means. Being really obstinate and being opposed to the will of God. Disobeying. You know, when a child disobeys its parents, that child obstinately opposes the will of mum or dad. And that's a foolish thing. That sort of headstrong, defiant behaviour is nothing to be proud of. It's foolish. Many parents lie awake at night worried sick because young people are obstinate. Because they are disobeying. They're breaking their hearts and they're creating terrible trouble in the home. And if you're not saved, you're a child of disobedience. That's what the Bible says. You're obstinately opposing the divine will. What is the divine will? That you and I repent. But if you refuse to repent and refuse to get saved, you're disobeying and you're a child of disobedience. And look at verse 3 of Ephesians 2. This is why I ask you to stay in this portion. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 2, we're the children of disobedience if we're not saved. And then in verse 3, the children of wrath. That means exposed to wrath or liable to wrath. And the reason why we're all the children of wrath is simple. We're born in sin and we're shapen in iniquity. We're fallen sinners. We're under condemnation because of our sin. And we're under the wrath of God. And you know, whenever a child does wrong, it has to be chastised. Because of our sin. We have to be chastised. We are children of disobedience and children of wrath. That's a serious matter. What a terrible condition to be in. The contrast, child of the devil, child of God. The condition, a child of disobedience, a child of wrath. But then there's a conversion that is spoken of. Maybe you'll turn to the book of Galatians. It's a very important verse. Chapter 3, verse 26. You see, a child of the devil and a child of disobedience and a child of wrath can become a child of God. And Paul was writing to the Christians in Galatia, and look at chapter 3, verse 26. And you'll see how you can be changed, converted. Galatians 3, 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith. In Christ Jesus. You know, so many people like that wee bit, we're all the children of God. You ever heard that? Oh, we're all God's children. And they would try and say to you and me, when you say, you need to be saved, not at all, sure, we're all the children of God. Not what the Bible says. Well, if you take one wee bit and don't read the rest, it does say that, but God's word goes further. Yes, we're all the children of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. There's how you become a child of God. There's a description of those who are the children of God. Those who have put their faith and trust in Christ Jesus. That's how to become a child of God. You must trust Christ. You must be in Christ. There must be a major turnabout. You must change from being a child of the devil to a child of God by putting your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. You have to be converted. tell me, are you converted? Have you come to Christ? You can't claim to be a child of God unless you're born again of the Holy Spirit and washed in the blood of the Lamb, unless you put your faith in Christ Jesus. You're not part of God's family until you put your faith in Christ Jesus. You're not saved unless and until you put your faith in Christ Jesus. And if you do that, you can have real peace. How do I know that? I'll just read to you Romans 8 and 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You can know without a shadow of a doubt you're saved, because the Holy Spirit will come into your heart and life and give you peace. So I'm asking you tonight, do you have this peace? Children of God have this peace. If you don't have it, then you need to ask yourself what's wrong. Because the Holy Spirit bears witness with ours that we're the children of God. Do you have peace tonight? Or are you sitting here pretending to have peace, but in your heart there's no peace? If that's the case, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. There's a contrast, a child of the devil or a child of God. There's the condition, children of disobedience, children of wrath. There's the conversion, children of God by faith in Christ. But finally, there's the change that takes place. You see, converted people are changed people. We have no time for and no confidence in people who say they're saved, but their lives have never been changed. I have no time for those who preach the gospel in such an easy believism type fashion that if a person gives a nod or a wink, you're saved, there's another one. And they've never been dealt with, never explained to them personally what it is to be saved, never been led down the road of repentance and saving faith in Christ. Far too many people in our country have been deceived by the easy believism, and they don't know where they stand. They're not changed. God hasn't really moved in their hearts. You know what it says in 1 John 5? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. A saved person is changed, loves God and keeps His commandments. Are you changed? Have you been? Are you different now? You're not what you used to be before you met the Lord. Listen to Ephesians 5 and 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Christians are children of light. We don't walk in darkness anymore. We walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We walk in the light. And this is so important. When you are truly converted, you're changed. You walk in the light now. It's easy to fall in the darkness. Isn't that right? Even your own back door. And you know it so well, and you've walked through that back door. Maybe there's a step at your back door, and you've walked over that step 1,000 times, 10,000 times. And you know it so well. But you step out in the winter time without a light on, and no light can through the kitchen window, and no light in the yard, and you can go in your ear really handy, because it's dark. Even though you think you know the way, but it's dark. And you can go down. But put the back light on before you walk out through the door. It's totally different, isn't it? It's so much easier. There's light there. So much easier to walk. Every step, it's an easy step. And you know, whenever you get saved, it's something like that.
There's light in your life that wasn't there before. There's not the darkness that used to be there. Christ is the light of the world. He's come into your life and your heart. And there's a light there that shows you how to walk, and where it's safe to walk, where it's not safe to walk. The whole thing's changed. The light of the world is the light of your life. And you're a child of light. We walk differently, more easily, more comfortably when we're saved. And we walk in the light. Tell me, are you walking in the light? Are you? Has there been a real change? And you're now walking in the light and you know God's guidance and God's help. Your life's changed. I was reading a wee story about those who walk in the dark and sometimes make regrettable decisions. This was back in the days before electricity. And there was something that existed back then. I don't think it even exists now at all. It's a tight-fisted farmer. I don't think those things are around anymore. Just out of the dark ages. But anyway, back before there was electricity, there was this tight-fisted farmer. And he had a hired man. And the hired man used to take a lighted lantern when he went out to go down the road to meet his best girl. And the farmer wasn't too happy at the hired man taking the lantern and wasting a wee bit of oil. So the farmer, he said to the hired man, "When I went to courting, I never carried one of them things. I always went in the dark." And the hired man said back to him, "Yes, and look what you got." And you know, if you walk in the dark, it's not the same as walking in the light. Sure it's not. If you're not saved, you're still walking in the dark. You don't know where you're going? Well, you do in a sense. You know you're going to hell. Life's not that pleasant when you're walking in the dark. You make loads of mistakes. But when you come to Christ, the destination changes. You're going to heaven. And he's with you to help you and guide you. And I can tell you this, he makes a wonderful change in our lives, because without him, look at the mistakes we'd make. What a disaster we'd make of our lives. But he's there to guide us and give us light. I wouldn't want to be a child of the devil. I'm glad, by God's grace, and it's only by God's grace, but I'm glad of this. By God's grace, I'm a child of the Lord. Are you? You need to be. And I hope you are. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.